Hello, and welcome back to the Wise Athlete Podcast with your host, Joe Lavelle. On today's episode number 97, I am talking with Ross Pelton, the natural pharmacist and the author of the book, Rapamycin, mTOR, Autophagy, and Treating the mTOR Syndrome, which is the only book available on rapamycin written for the general public. As you will soon hear, Ross has a passion for life extension and all things anti-aging science and technology. He has amazing energy, and he walks the walk. As you may know, this is the third episode I've prepared as a part of my own exploration of the emerging field of longevity medicine for the purpose of lengthening my lifespan while improving my health, as well as extending my ability to perform as an athlete. I have at least two more episodes on this topic in the works. I hope you'll enjoy them. All right, let's talk to Ross Pelton about rapamycin and more. Ross Pelton, welcome to the Wise Athletes Podcast.
Hey, it is really a pleasure to be here. I'm happy to have a chance to talk about my passion for rapamycin. And thanks for your interest and thanks for your invitation.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, I appreciate you taking some time for me. Let's start with this, the natural pharmacist. Why do you call yourself that?
I'm a recovering pharmacist. I was a pharmacist for decades. But along the way, I was a junk food junkie. Earlier in my adult life, but in 1979, 1980, I stumbled into a yoga class, and I saw a group of people that radiated a level of health that just knocked my socks off. Wow. So I got involved in yoga, and through that, I associated with people that not only exercised and ate healthy, but they read health books and health newsletters and health magazines. And with my background in medicine and pharmacy, I just started to absorb all this health-related stuff like a sponge, and it's been making sense ever since. And it never stops. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And so I started studying it, then I started writing about it and teaching about it. And here we are today, decades later.
Wow, fantastic. Well, you started a long time ago. I'm not sure I've ever said it on the podcast, but I stopped drinking diet soda in 2009. So that was the beginning of my journey.
Good. That's a great thing to stop, for sure.
Better late than never, I guess.
You bet. So I brand myself as a natural pharmacist. My website is naturalpharmacist.net. My blog is there, tons of articles on different health topics. And several years ago, I got interested in the drug rapamycin.
And so I'm sorry to interrupt you, but just to get it on the record here, you are the author, in addition to these other things that you're talking about, you are the author of 12 books. And one of these books is about rapamycin. And I understand that here in just the last few days, the second edition has come out. But tell us about this book. And why you wrote it?
About 5 years ago, I attended a life extension conference in Las Vegas. Uh-huh. And one of the speakers talked about rapamycin. And so that was my first introduction to it, but I didn't know a lot about it. But I started tracking it and following it and studying it. And a couple of years later, it started to become a passion for me. Uh-huh. Maybe obsession would be a better word. Okay. And I realized that there are thousands and thousands of articles published in the scientific literature about rapamycin and about the other two topics in the title of my book, mTOR and autophagy. But nobody had written a book on it for the general public to really explain how and why it works and what it is. So that became my passion. And I did write the book, and it's really the only book on the market for this topic now. So, and it's designed not only to educate people, but to accelerate their learning curve. And part of what I hope will happen is that people who read it will request that their doctor read it and educate their doctors, because it is a prescription drug. And until recently, people had to get a prescription for it. Now, as I mentioned previous to our show, there's some new information about a quality generic rapamycin product that's available without a prescription. But that's getting ahead of myself. Let me talk a little bit about rapamycin and why this whole topic is so important.
Yeah.
So about 25 years of research into trying to understand how and why this drug works have resulted in our understanding of a totally new mechanism of cellular metabolism. It has to do with a term called mTOR and another term called autophagy. And rapamycin interfaces with these, and that's part of why rapamycin works. But let me explain these foundational scientific terms, and people need to develop a scientific literacy if they want to be healthy. Anything you want to get good at, you have to learn the language, whether it's being a lawyer or a doctor or whatever. And so here we're studying health, so people need to understand some of these new terms. But I can assure people, even though mTOR and autophagy are new terms, once you read my book and get through these topics and hear me talk about them several times, you'll start to understand what they are and why they're important.
Great.
First of all, mTOR. mTOR is a protein, actually an enzyme that's inside every single cell in your body. And it is a sensor of nutrients. And when nutrients are available to the cell, mTOR sends out signals that says, use these nutrients to build and grow. The other term, autophagy, is the resting phase of cells. When nutrients are not available to the cell, autophagy gets activated. And during autophagy, the body is able to target old proteins and enzymes and damaged cellular components and break them down and either get them out of the cell, i.e. detoxification, or utilize those components to rebuild healthy new components, healthy new proteins and healthy new enzymes.
Okay.
So autophagy is kind of the detoxification, rebuilding, renewal phase, whereas mTOR is the pedal to the metal, the growth phase. These two processes need to be in balance. And for millions of years of human evolution, they were in balance, and now we're way out of balance. And I think that the fact that mTOR and autophagy are so out of balance now is one of the fundamental reasons why the health of humanity is really declining. We really now are experiencing an epidemic of epidemics. There's heart disease and cancer and diabetes and on and on and on, autism, obesity, whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that the dysregulation of mTOR and autophagy is one of the fundamental reasons health problems are escalating so dramatically. And in the second edition of my rapamycin book, I proposed the mTOR autophagy theory of aging. This is so fundamental to health that people need to understand that it's really regulating not just their health, but ultimately their biological aging process.
Ah.
So let me explain how we got out of balance. For most of human evolution, people did not get up in the morning, go to the refrigerator, and start making breakfast. People didn't eat three meals a day for most of human evolution. Anthropologists and historical people that look at the medical records think that our ancestral humans probably only ate once a day and probably sometimes, maybe even frequently, only ate once every two or three days. They had to really scavenge for food, and it was a difficult process, and they were constantly looking for food. Hmm. And so ancestral humans, just say, ate once a day and spent 4 hours a day digesting their food. That means they went 20 hours a day without taking in nutrients. Hmm. These days, people eat all the time compared to ancestral humans. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, in between meal snacks, dessert, evening cocktails. And so my estimation is that ancestral humans spent roughly about 20% of their time in mTOR and 80% of their time in autophagy. Huh. And now it's totally reversed. And so with people eating all the time, nutrients are always coming in. So mTOR is constantly being stimulated and autophagy is not getting activated. And people need to understand how important autophagy is. It's the major process of detoxification for every cell in your body. And it's the process of rebuilding and renewing your body. And I use the analogy of an old classic car. And on one of the slides I've got an old 57 Chevy. Uh-huh. Beautiful turquoise colored car. And I've also got a picture of a junk 57 Chevy. Mm. And if you have an old car and you want it to keep it in pristine running condition, you have to change the oil and you have to probably over time put in new brakes. You have to constantly service this vehicle to keep it in peak running condition. Sure. And if you don't, it's going to get rusty and worn out and not work very well for you. And your body is just the same as this. Huh. You've got to have this process of autophagy functioning in order to detoxify your cells and to rebuild and renew cellular components on a regular basis. And because people aren't getting this, health is suffering and biological aging is accelerating. So that's the whole process that is so important beyond the drug rapamycin. Now, why has rapamycin surfaced and why is it so important? When rapamycin crosses a cellular membrane and goes into the cell, it binds to mTOR and inhibits mTOR, so autophagy gets time to function. So that's the benefit of rapamycin. It's helping people to rebalance this mTOR autophagy ratio, which has gotten so out of balance.
I see. So even though they are not exercising as much as our ancestors did, and they're eating more than our ancestors did, when they're taking this drug, their body is kind of being reset back to the way it was designed.
Exactly. Rapamycin is doing it for you. The natural way to rebalance the mTOR autophagy ratio is intermittent fasting. The most common protocol for intermittent fasting is called the 16-8, where you consume all of your calories in a day within 8 hours, for example, noon to 8 p.m., and then go 16 hours from 8 p.m. until noon the next day without eating anything. Some people will do what's called a 2-5, which is 2 days a week, maybe Monday and Thursday, they do a 24-hour fast. There's numerous ways you can do this, but intermittent fasting is a process of not taking in nutrients for a greater period of time, so autophagy starts to function. But many people are not going to discipline themselves to fast. This is what rapamycin does. Yeah. It will inhibit mTOR and allow autophagy time to function. And so this is really a big deal. And I wrote the mTOR autophagy theory of aging and proposed it to really emphasize how important this process is to kind of rebalance or turn around the biological aging process. And a lot of people ask, well, what's the science behind this? And so I'd like to explore that a little bit here in our discussion.
Yeah.
There's a lot of studies in animals with rapamycin showing that animals in various animal models, 20 to 60% life extension. So it's pretty dramatic. And in mice studies, 20-month-old mice, which is the equivalent of about 65 to 70 years in humans, when 20-month-old mice are started on rapamycin, females get a 14% life extension and males get 9%.
So even when though they're already near the end of their life, they still get a big extension.
You're still going to get benefit. And it is my personal belief that virtually every adult person alive today can get significant benefits from taking rapamycin, except pregnant women. Because pregnancy is a time of rapid growth, and so you don't want to inhibit mTOR during a growth phase. That's also why you wouldn't give rapamycin to children or teenagers. There's a period of rapid growth.
I see.
30, 40, 50 years old, that's the time to start thinking about rapamycin.
If I could interrupt you, what about the person who is an athlete and, you know, they're trying to be strong or maybe get stronger and they like the idea of my mTOR being turned on? I'm building, you know, how do I manage to do that, but also maybe get this life extension?
Yeah, good question. And I know this is a program for athletes.
Yeah.
So one of the things I really emphasize for athletes is how important it is to be in autophagy, because that's the rebuilding and renewal phase of your body. And athletes are commonly go, 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 pedal to the metal, exercise hard, consume a lot of calories, and that'll last you for a little while, but you're going to burn out, believe me.
You don't recover. You know.
It's just like you can have a hot car and be driving pedal to the metal, and it's really fast, but you can't go pedal to the metal forever. They can't drive those things 100,000 miles. They go around the lap for one day and they're burned out. So athletes, it's really important to give your body a rest phase. I equate the mTOR phase to the accelerator and autophagy to the brake or the rest phase. And I equate autophagy to sleep. But sleep is not really a rest phase. There's a lot going on during sleep. It's the same with autophagy. It's a rest phase, but there's a lot going on in terms of detoxification, breaking down old damaged proteins and enzymes and getting them rebuilt. And so it's a really critical process. And I think it's exceptionally critical for athletes to have adequate time for autophagy to keep rebuilding their body. Because when you're exercising hard, you're breaking down part of your body. I mean, if you lift weights extremely heavy, you got to give those muscles a couple of days to rest because you've torn some of the muscle fibers as part of the exercise protocol, and you have to give that time to heal. And autophagy is the process that really not only accelerates, but manifests or makes available the healing process and the rebuilding and revitalization process.
I see. I wonder if one of the other things that kind of works into this little bit that we're talking about here is the dosing schedule. Because when we're taking rapamycin, you're not taking it every day, are you?
That's an important thing to bring up. I'm glad you brought that up. So yes, and let me back up just a little bit. Rapamycin was actually approved by the FDA in September of 1999 as a drug to administer to people who get kidney transplants because kidney transplants need to be on immune suppression drugs constantly so that they don't reject their new organ.
Okay.
Well, rapamycin actually does suppress the immune system. When it was initially discovered, it was being developed as an antifungal drug. When they discovered it suppressed the immune system, all that research stopped. But then they realized that it could be used as an immune suppressant for kidney transplant patients. A couple years later, in early 2000s, rapamycin got approved as chemotherapy for several different types of solid tumor cancers. Huh. Because cancer is a process where cells are growing out of control. If you inhibit the growth phase, which is mTOR, you'll slow down the cancer. And when samples of rapamycin were sent to the National Cancer Institute, they went crazy over it because they realized that it was the first example of a new class of chemotherapy drugs. Most chemotherapy drugs are what we call cytotoxic. They kill rapidly dividing cells, which is the tumor cell, but you get tremendous amount of side effects because bone marrow and liver cells and lung cells and are also rapidly dividing cells. So there's a lot of side effects from the cytotoxic chemotherapy drugs.
Yeah.
Rapamycin is not cytotoxic. It was found to be cytostatic. Huh. It suppresses cancer growth without all the toxicity associated with the normal types of chemotherapy drug.
Okay.
But those two FDA approvals for organ transplant patients and as chemotherapy really throw most physicians off. Most physicians who aren't familiar with rapamycin, when they learn that it's used for kidney transplant patients and chemotherapy, they're not going to prescribe it for somebody that wants to be interested in life extension and anti-aging. But the breakthrough in our understanding for this came when a scientist by the name of Joan Manek, working for one of the big drug companies, and she had the enviable position. They hired her and they said, you can research anything you want to. And they gave her the budget to do this. She got interested in rapamycin. She organized a clinical trial with elderly people, 65 years old and older. Uh-huh. And she divided them into four groups. There was a placebo group, one group taking rapamycin-type drug, a small dose, half a milligram once a week, another taking 5 milligrams once a week, another group taking 20 milligrams once a week. So
once a week.
Double-blind, placebo-controlled trial. And at the end of 6-week trial, yeah. 2 weeks washout. And at the end of the washout period, she gave all of these participants the seasonal flu vaccine and then measured how their immune system responded. It turns out that people taking 5 milligrams of rapamycin once a week had a 20% boost in their immune system.
Wow.
So that was the first clinical human trial that showed that taking rapamycin episodically, once a week rather than every day, doesn't suppress the immune system. It gives autophagy time to function and has tremendous health benefits.
So let me just make sure I understand. If I took it every day, it would suppress my immune system.
Yes,
but if I took it once a week, it boosts my immune system.
Exactly. It gives autophagy time to function.
All right.
Yep. That was the breakthrough in our understanding of the importance of episodically taking rapamycin.
And so maybe that also means that it's sort of forcing that rest, the autophagy you're mm-hmm. talking about, but then maybe as it wears off during that week cycle,
exactly.
my mTOR comes back on and yeah. I'm building muscle again.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And after the mTOR comes on, after autophagy has broken down old dysfunctional enzymes and proteins, and so you can start to rebuild healthy new ones.
All right.
So 5 milligrams once a week. I will readily admit that this is a whole new field. There's a tremendous amount we do not know yet.
Yeah.
So in the future, we'll learn much more about optimal dosing. And I would guess that we'll find that some people do better at 5 milligrams once a week. Some people might do better at 7 or 8 milligrams once a week. Some people might do better at 10 milligrams every other week. We don't know what the optimal dosage is. We don't know what the optimal frequency of dosing is. But we do know from the Joan Manick trial that 5 milligrams once a week gives a really good outcome, and that's what most people are taking.
So how are people getting this thing that is for organ transplants and cancer?
Well, for organ transplants and for chemotherapy, doctors write the prescription for it.
I understand that they get it for that reason, but for the people who are taking it for like anti-aging purposes.
For anti-aging, you need to educate your physician.
Ah.
So that's the educational process and the purpose of my book is to educate people and present all the science that shows people, especially physicians, that there's really good solid science that explains how and why rapamycin works and that it's virtually side effect free when it's taken episodically. Of course, anybody can misuse or abuse it by taking too high a dose or frequency of dosing too quickly. Uh-huh. One of the most common side effects with rapamycin for life extension enthusiasts, I don't know what the percentage is, maybe 5% or so, people will get aphthous ulcers, little mouth ulcers. Uh-huh. They can be very painful, but they usually go away in several days. And the people who have experienced that side effect say that after like a week or two, they don't have reoccurrences of that side effect.
Okay.
That's about the only side effect with rapamycin of note. I encourage people to get lab tests to check cholesterol levels, blood sugar levels, things like this. It's just good to have a baseline and then track your basic lab tests.
Yeah.
And as long as I'm mentioning lab tests, I am becoming fanatical about encouraging people to get their rapamycin plasma levels tested. And the generic name for rapamycin is sirolimus. Uh-huh. And so what you want to ask for is the sirolimus blood test. The lab company LabCorp has this test available.
Oh.
And, but the thing I'm emphasizing is if you don't test, you don't know. You're just guessing. I was taking 6 milligrams of rapamycin once a week for 2 years.
Yeah.
I started testing a couple months ago and I found out that my plasma levels were far lower than I anticipated, not anywhere near I wanted them to be.
Oh.
So now I've upped my dose to 10 milligrams once a week. And my lab tests show that my plasma levels are up in the range where I want them to be, between five and six nanograms per milliliter. But before I tested, I was down around 2.
I see.
I think people have different biochemical pathways, different levels of absorption. I'm encouraging people to get tested so you know how effective the dose you're taking is for you.
Sure, that makes sense.
So I'll say a little bit more about this lab testing.
Okay.
Life Extension Foundation makes this lab test available. Anybody can call Life Extension Foundation and order the rapamycin blood test.
Yeah.
It's $95. And you don't need a prescription to go through Life Extension for that.
Okay.
I then found out that if I got a prescription for the sirolimus blood test from my family physician, my general practice doc, I could take that to LabCorp and get the same lab test for $59. So that's what I've been doing until last time. I took my prescription from my general practice doc to LabCorp and presented my insurance cards, my Medicare and my copay, my coinsurance. I got the lab test for zero copay.
Wow.
So I encourage people to get tested to find out what your optimum dose should be. And you want to have your doses up around 5 to 6 nanograms per milliliter.
Okay.
The next thing I'll mention about rapamycin is that there's a company named International Anti-Aging Systems. They make hard to find life extension drugs available globally.
Yeah.
And they have a proprietary brand of rapamycin called RapaPro, R-A-P-A, capital P-R-O. And it's available without a prescription.
Huh.
It comes from overseas. They're based in Hong Kong. It took me about, 5 or 6 weeks to get my first shipment when I ordered it.
Yeah.
I started taking it. I went to the lab and had my testing and found out that at the 10 milligrams per day, I was up to 5.2 nanograms per milliliter. So I know that this is a quality product that's being absorbed and I'm getting a plasma level. And this RapaPro is being made by a quality generic drug company in India. They're using a very fascinating new manufacturing process called SNEEDS, S-N-E-E-D-S.
Yeah.
That stands for Self-Emulsifying Nanotechnology Drug Delivery System.
Hmm.
So they're using a new nanotechnology to make very small particle size so they get good absorption with this RapaPro brand of rapamycin.
All right.
The other thing that's exciting about RapaPro is that the price is extremely reasonable, $69.95 for a box of 50 1 milligram tablets. It's only available, I believe, in 1 milligram tablets.
Yeah.
But if somebody's taking 6 milligrams once a week, that works out to about $35 a week. That's a very reasonable price to get rapamycin without a prescription, a quality product that's got good absorption. I've worked a little deal with the International Anti-Aging Systems. If anybody wants to go ahead and go to their website and order RapaPro, if you put in Ross-10, you'll get a 10% discount on your first order.
Nice. Well, awesome. It would sure be scary to do this sort of a thing with, you know, without doctor supervision. So how can people do that, if their doctor is not cooperating?
If your doctor is not willing to write you a prescription, there are physicians that will do telemedicine visits, and people can get in touch with me, and I'm happy to give out some names and phone numbers to people that call and get in touch with me. And I could actually give you that, I guess, and put it on the show notes. I don't know if I should.
They can just get in touch with you, which I'll put your contact info in the show notes.
One of the chapters in my book, I've profiled Alan Green, who's a medical doctor in New York, who has over 1,200 patients taking rapamycin.
Wow.
And he and several other top rapamycin scientists say not taking rapamycin is more dangerous than the benefits you get for it and the minimal side effects are well worth the risk. And so I literally think virtually every human can significantly improve their life and their health by taking rapamycin. When you start taking it, every single cell in your body is going to start to work better. And I want to emphasize, it's not a miracle overnight cure, and it's not going to fix everything. If somebody has a artery that's about ready to blow, or you have bone-on-bone arthritis, rapamycin is not going to fix these things.
Yeah.
But rapamycin will slow down the onset of virtually every single chronic degenerative disease, the diseases of aging. So earlier when we talked just before the show started, you asked, what is aging?
Yeah.
Aging is the gradual decline in structure and function of the body. Over time, different systems break down, different parts of your physical structure break down, and the goal here is slowing down that process. And it's not just life extension. You don't want to just extend lifespan. You want to extend health span.
I heard somebody describe, the last thing you want is to get to 120 years old and feel like you're 120 years old.
Yeah, you don't want to be going around in a wheelchair with an oxygen tank. You want to retain your vitality.
Yeah.
And there was back in the 1970s or 80s, there was a physician that wrote a paper that was published in the medical journal titled The Compression of Morbidity. So what he was talking about is extending health span until the very end of your life and then compressing morbidity into a very short period of time.
Yep.
And it was very controversial at the beginning when that came out, but now it's pretty well verified that you can slow down the aging process and maintain a high level of functionality for a much longer period of time and compress your years of infirmity into a much shorter period of time.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting. In fact, I've been hearing about rapamycin for years and really kind of disregarded it because it was, I just figured it was impossible. I was never going to be able to get it.
Yeah,
my doctors are certainly never going to give it to me. And the only people that I heard about talking about taking it were doctors, and they were giving it to themselves. And so, I wasn't going to be able to go back to medical school to be able to accomplish that. But what I then heard, and it was one of the leading researchers in this field, was talking about how he had pain in his shoulder. He had a frozen shoulder.
Yeah, that was Matt Haberline. Yep.
Exactly. And he couldn't throw the ball with his kid anymore. It was depressing him that he had this problem. But he was a researcher on rapamycin, and he thought, well, gosh, rapamycin helps with inflammation, and I got an inflammation problem. Why don't I put two and two together here and make four out of it?
Yep.
And he did, and his shoulder got better.
Yep, exactly.
And I thought, I could use that.
Yep.
So this is why it has really piqued my interest. The audience will know that I've been talking about, having lost some athleticism over time, and some of that was self-induced, but some of it was my knees were hurting more and more, and I was, it was affecting how I moved. And I've been trying lots of different things, and this rapamycin thing sounds like just the ticket.
Let me talk about one more study that's really important with rapamycin. There's a professor, Vera Gorbanovich, she'd been studying the genes that are associated with maximum lifespan in long-lived animals.
Okay.
So there's a lot of animals that have a fairly long lifespan, and the scientists have looked at this for a number of years now. So they know which genes are associated with maximum lifespan, and they also know the genes that are overactivated in accelerated aging. So what Dr. Gorbanova did is she took 10 of the most researched and accepted anti-aging therapies or life extension therapies and gave them to mice and measured their influence on the genes that have a positive effect on maximum lifespan and also on negative effect at accelerated aging. And so there was acarbose and estradiol and methionine restriction and calorie restriction and growth hormone. And then, of course, rapamycin was in there. Turned out that rapamycin had the largest effect on activating the genes associated with maximum lifespan and had the lowest effect on activating the genes that are associated with accelerated aging. Wow. So this was not a human clinical trial, but it's a really important trial because it gives some credibility and some understanding of what rapamycin is doing in terms of activating the genes associated with maximum lifespan.
So this is consistent with what I have been hearing about as I've been digging into this rapamycin thing. And even though I haven't heard you say or anybody credible say that rapamycin reverses aging, I have heard people, Dr. Kemberline, as an example, talk about how it can reverse some of the functional declines associated with aging.
It's reversing biomarkers of aging, especially in cardiovascular disease.
And improving the immune system.
Yeah.
And maybe these are all kind of related to this business of turning down the growth mode and letting autophagy do its thing. And it's sort of clearing out old senescent cells, and it's lowering inflammation, which is letting other systems start to work better the way they used to.
Everything.
And so like reversing periodontal disease in mice, I think has been proven. What are some of the other things?
You just mentioned some of the key ones, but virtually every single type of age-related disease in humans also occurs in mice and rats and other types of primates. And all of these diseases respond to rapamycin. We haven't done all of these trials in humans yet, but they're the same diseases that humans get. And in mice and rats, every single one of them responds.
Including cancer, which we had talked about earlier. I think that maybe mice get more cancer is a bigger thing for mice than for people, but still, I think that that's because of the immune system gets stronger, and then the immune system can do its job of getting rid of the cancer.
Yeah, immune system and detoxification and, you know, and preserving mitochondrial health, it's everything is involved.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, that all sounds really, really good.
I've got a couple of other health topics I'd like to mention to our listeners if we've got time to do that.
Yeah.
So I'll just mention a couple of other topics I think are really critical. The gut microbiome is a critical regulator of health and the aging process. I wrote an article that was published in a scientific journal, peer-reviewed journal in January, titled The Microbiome Theory of Aging. Huh. It's critical that people know how important the microbiome is and how to create and maintain a healthy microbiome, meaning a healthy balance between good bacteria, your probiotic bacteria, and potentially bad bacteria. And I'm teaching people how this whole system works. There's a term that might be new to a lot of your listeners called postbiotic metabolites.
Okay.
For a long time, people have intuitively known that probiotic bacteria can provide health benefits, but nobody really understood the mechanism of action.
All right.
Now I'm helping the world to understand this. The job of your probiotic bacteria is to break down components in your food and create secondary compounds that have a high level of biological activity. And the primary foods for your probiotic bacteria are dietary fibers and compounds called polyphenols. Polyphenols give fruits and vegetables their color. There's over 8,000 polyphenols that have been identified.
I just did a podcast with Jed Fahey on phytochemicals. So I know all about this at this point.
Well, dietary fibers and polyphenols, humans can't digest them and metabolize them. Most of them travel totally through the digestive tract, but when they reach the colon, they're the food for your probiotic bacteria.
Fantastic.
And the bacteria break them down and produce these postbiotic metabolites that have anti-inflammatory activity, and they suppress the growth of pathogens and gut brain signaling. There's just thousands of things that these compounds do. And if people would like to learn more about this, our listeners, they can get a free copy of a book that I wrote called Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics and Postbiotic Metabolites. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics is a product made by a company in Japan, and the company I work for has the sole rights to import and distribute this Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics in the United States. And uniquely, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics is made in a multi-year fermentation process. So the end product has over 500 of these postbiotic metabolites. There's no other product like it in the world. And people go to my website, naturalpharmacist.net/O'Hara book. That's O-H-H-I-R-A-B-O-O-K. They can download a free copy of this booklet, Postbiotic Metabolites and Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, and learn all about that particular topic.
Great. I'll put that link in the show notes so people can find that easily. I think I actually have that link from you. So that's great. What else?
So another thing that teaching people how to eat a healthy diet, because it's a plant-based diet that contains these dietary fibers and polyphenols that feed your microbiome. I've got an 8-minute YouTube video that people can watch. All they have to do is do a Google search for Ross Salad Buzz, B-U-Z-Z. It's an 8-minute YouTube video. It'll teach people how to make a microbiome-supporting salad. Next quick topic I think is critical for life extension and anti-aging is glutathione.
Antioxidant.
Have you had any people on your show talking about glutathione?
No, not directly, no.
Glutathione is the master antioxidant. It's made in every cell in your body. It also regulates most of your detoxification. It has powerful immune system regulatory activities, powerful antiviral activities. It improves insulin sensitivity. It promotes healthy weight management. And for many years, glutathione was not available in health food stores because if it's taken orally, it gets broken down and destroyed. But again, full disclosure, I work for a company that makes available the best glutathione product in the world. It's called RegActive, spelled R-E-G apostrophe A-C-T-I-V. And this product, we import it from Europe, contains a very unique strain of bacteria called Lactobacillus fermentum ME3. That strain of bacteria synthesizes glutathione. So when you take it, that bacteria gets into your gut, starts making glutathione, and we've got human clinical trials showing all sorts of benefits. We can do another episode talking about that in detail sometime in the future.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Another topic I think is really critical is circulation.
Yeah.
There's a Dr. Kunlin Jin that proposed a microcirculatory theory of aging.
Huh.
I think virtually everybody suffers from suboptimal microvascular circulation. We've got the heart, we've got arteries and veins, but we've got 70,000 miles of microcapillaries. And most people don't have good, or at least optimal, microvascular circulation because of sedentary lifestyles and bad diets and on and on and on. Uh-huh. There are medical devices called pulsed electromagnetic frequency devices that stimulate your microvascular to increase the circulation to every cell in your body. That increases the blood supply and the oxygen to every cell, so your mitochondria get more oxygen to produce more energy. And I have a unit that I prefer called a BEMER, B-E-M-E-R, stands for bioelectromagnetic energy regulation. People using a BEMER for 3 weeks got an 18% increase in mitochondrial ATP production. So that's something that everybody should be aware of, but especially athletes.
So it's just some sort of like a laser or a lamp?
It's kind of like a yoga mat that you lie on and it projects electromagnetic frequencies in your body. I'll send you the link, Joel, to the BEMER team that won the race across America. Toughest bike race in the world. Yeah. And while they're not on the bike, they're in the van lying on their BEMER, getting increased oxygenation, increased blood supply, and more energy.
So they're getting accelerated recovery so they can get back out on the bike.
Yep. Another critical nutrient for life extension is coenzyme
Q10. Uh-huh.
And it's the number one fat-soluble antioxidant. And it's also involved in the production of energy in the mitochondria.
Yeah.
And the thing I emphasize is that it has to be crystal-free coenzyme Q10. Most coenzyme Q10 products crystallize because the melting point of coenzyme Q10 is 10 degrees higher than body temperature.
Huh.
When CoQ10 crystallizes, we can't absorb clumps of CoQ10. It has to be single molecules in solution. And there's one company out of Europe called PharmaNord, PharmaNord. They have a patented system that keeps their CoQ10 in solution. There's multiple clinical trials showing they get 3 to 10 times higher plasma level compared to other brands on the market. So that, I don't have any connection to their company other than it's such an important product for people to know about. I promote it and tell people about it because CoQ10 is a really critical product for longevity.
Well, and I hear that anybody taking a statin should be taking CoQ10.
Absolutely. Yeah, one of the books I wrote is called The Drug-Induced Nutrient Depletion Handbook, kind of a Bible for physicians and pharmacists teaching healthcare professionals what nutrients are being depleted by the nutrients people take. And you bet statins is a class of drugs that depletes coenzyme Q10. It actually statins interfere with the biochemical process for the production of CoQ10 at the cellular level. So you're interfering with your body's ability to make coenzyme Q10. And there's a wide range of other classes of drugs that also interfere with coenzyme Q10, including birth control pills. But I encourage everybody to take coenzyme Q10 as a supplement. I think PharmaNord's product is the best. And CoQ10 is a fat-soluble nutrient. We don't absorb fat-soluble nutrients very efficiently. So I encourage people to take it at a meal that contains fat. So you'll get enhanced absorption. And there's a very interesting study that looked at taking 100 milligrams of CoQ10 in the blood levels and then taking 200 milligrams of CoQ10 in the blood levels. You don't get much increase when you take 200 milligrams. You get much better results if you take 100 milligrams twice a day instead of 200 milligrams all at once. So for people that might have cardiovascular disease, people who are on statin drugs, who want to really increase their CoQ10 levels, if you're going to take more of it, take it twice a day in divided doses instead of just doubling up the dose all at once.
And eat it with some fat.
Yes, you got it. So I'll send you some of these links after the show to post in the show notes for all of our listeners.
Yeah, please do.
And that kind of rounds out the most important things. Of course, omega-3 is critically important for anybody that's interested in long-term health. I totally recommend that everybody should be taking some form of fish oil supplement.
Yeah, or eating a lot of fish.
Yeah, right. And if you're going to eat fish, it has to be wild caught, not farm raised.
Yeah.
And the two most important things for healthy aging, number one is diet. Number two is exercise. Mm-hmm. Those are just on the top of the list. And Peter Attia, a podcaster that I listened to quite a bit, made a wonderful comment one time. He said, you can't outrun a bad diet. Meaning no amount of exercise is going to compensate for eating a bad diet. Same with rapamycin. I mean, if you're a junk food junkie and a couch potato, rapamycin's at best only going to provide minimal benefit. I advocate doing everything that's healthy, you know, exercise, healthy diet, and intermittent fasting along with your rapamycin and CoQ10 and all the other things.
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, there's never going to be longevity in a pill, not in our life.
Nope.
Do the things that you know you've got to do.
Yeah.
And now we know that there's other things you can do to get the icing on the cake.
Yep, they really supplement and kind of provide, as you say, icing on the cake.
Fantastic. Ross, this has been really great, man. I appreciate you taking some time here and educating all of us on all of these things, and particularly rapamycin.
Yeah,
I really got to get into that one.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity, and I appreciate getting to know you, and I look forward to staying in touch with you. We'll do this again, I hope.
Absolutely. I absolutely will. All right, Ross, hey, you have a good night.
And take care.
I'll talk to you soon. All right, bye-bye.
You will. All right, bye.
Thank you so much for joining me on my talk with Ross Pelton about rapamycin and his passion for all things anti-aging. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends. That'd be a great help. Thanks.